to Libya now, where Libyan officials have confirmed that Muammar Gaddafi and his son Mu'tasim were buried this morning in a secret location in the Libyan desert. Questions over how and when to dispose of the former dictator's body for a variety of reasons have created challenges for Libya's new leadership. Joining us now is Katya Adler, correspondent for our partner, the BBC, in Tripoli. Katya, how closely are people in Libya following these developments, and what are their concerns as far as you're able to tell?
Much less closely than you are, much less closely than the international community, for sure. What most Libyans say is they're just glad that Colonel Gaddafi is dead, their dictator for 42 years, hated by so many of the people of Libya. And they're just happy that he's gone. One woman said to me, you know, everyone's talking about the difficulties that lie ahead for us on our path to democracy. But for us, the miracle is that Colonel Gaddafi is now gone, and the rest of it, we really will work out. So they're not so concerned with either the circumstances surrounding his death or where, when, and how he would be buried.
I'm glad to hear it. Katya Adler is correspondent for our partner in the BBC in Tripoli. You know, I'm wondering if all this plays as a form of, international intervention or meddling in the affairs of the Libyan people who, as you say, believe their difficulties are now behind them, not in front of them, and want to get on with it.
I don't think so. I mean, most Libyans that you speak to are extremely grateful for foreign intervention in so much as that NATO, the NATO campaign from the air, the no-fly zone, most certainly helped the forces loyal to the National Transitional Council, the anti-Gaddafi fighters, win the war on the ground. Without NATO's help, there's no way they would have managed it. Most of them, the large majority of them, are not professional fighters. They didn't have particularly good weapons, very unsophisticated old weapons and so on. So there is huge gratefulness there to the international community. It's less that they think that the problems are behind them. It's just Libyans feel that they welcome the difficulties of the future. I spoke to a Libyan writer yesterday who said to me, look, when we lived under a dictatorship, whether us in Libya or in Egypt or in Tunisia, we knew what every day was going to look like when we got up in the morning because we were told exactly how to live our lives. Now we don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. It probably will have problems. Hopefully they won't spill over into violence. But we welcome the fact that finally all the people of Libya or Egypt or Tunisia can express their own individual opinions openly. That is the new Libya, say the Libyans, and they like that.
And you mentioned Tunisia there. How closely are Libyans in the street following the elections over the weekend in Tunisia? It's right next door.
It's right next door, but this is a country that has been ravaged by civil war. So Libyans' concerns very much are what's happening right here, right now. This is an oil-rich nation, and yet most people consider themselves dirt poor. They don't have running water at home. They don't have a job to go to. The infrastructure in Libya was always bad, and now it has been smashed, and the country is awash with weapons and individual militia still. This is the result of 42 years of elitist dictatorship. And also all this months of fighting we've seen. So that really is concerning Libya. They look outside Libya for hope, for inspiration to Tunisia or to Egypt. And they want also to have elections like you just had in Tunisia, but Libyan style.
Okay. Katya Adler, correspondent for our partner, the BBC. They're doing nation building in Libya, not writing constitutions like next door in Tunisia. But they'll get to that. Katya, thanks so much.